This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And gather together as believers, granted us tawfiq to offer Salatul Maghrib and attend this blessed, inshallah, auspicious gathering. Today we are privileged and honored that our respected Hazrat Mufti Munib Sahib, Hafizahullah Ta'ala, may Allah protect and preserve him, is in our midst. I actually wanted to meet him. I mentioned to Dr. Sami, I said, is there a time that we can go and meet him sometime? But alhamdulillah, he came here today. So, and also I would like to thank all of you for taking out your time. Some very amazing things that we heard. In a summarized way, I heard the history of Australia, mashallah. That how history of Melbourne and in specifically and the history of Australia in general. We heard from our respected Sheikh here briefly how he came into Australia, and he was talking about his time studying in the mid or early 70s in Darul Uloom Karachi. And he is honored and he is privileged that he saw the Shaykh of our Shaykhs, Shaykh Mawlana Mufti Muhammad Shafi' Rahimahullahu Ta'ala. He did ziyarah of him, right? Studied with him as well. MashaAllah. He studied Mu'atta of Imam Malik with Mufti Muhammad Shafi' Rahimahullah, who was known as the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, the author of Ma'ariful Quran. He passed away in 1976. In Shawwal, 11th of Shawwal, he passed away. In 1976. My teacher, Mufti Taqi Uthmani, Hafidahullah, was born in Shawwal. Not the same Shawwal, but he was born in the month of Shawwal. I once said to him that your father passed away in the month of Shawwal, and you were born in the month of Shawwal. The same month. And you were born in the same year in which Hakimul Ummah Mawlana Ash-Shafi'i Thanvi Rahimullah passed away. The great Hakimul Ummah Mawlana Ash-Shafi'i Thanvi Rahimullah passed away in 1943. Mufti Taqi Uthmani Hafidhahullah was born 3 months after him in 1943. So I said to him that it seems that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you a successor of both. The same year in which Hakimul Ummah Mawlana Shafi'i Thanvi passed away, the same year you were born, 3 months later. And this is normally the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when a great passes away, around the same time a great is born. We see many examples of this. The same year in which Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala wa radi anhu passed away, in the year 150 Hijri, the same year Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah wa radi anhu was born. Same year. Some say on the same day, but it's not that specific, but in the same year. And as you know, in the madrasas, the students might know, they do a latifa or a joke. The Shafi'is, they say to the Hanafis, the Shafi'is say to the Hanafis that when our Imam came into this world, your Imam had to leave. And the Hanafis say, well, until our Imam was here, your Imam couldn't come. It's just a joke between the tullab, but of course we respect all the Imams, the Hanafis and the Shafi'is, and both Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Shafi'i and Imam Malik and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal radiyallahu anhum ajma'een. But this is normally the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a great passes away, Hakimul Ummah Mawlana Shafi'i Thanvi rahimahullah was a huge, a great, great scholar of this ummah. For our young people who don't understand Urdu and are not able to read his books, try to go and listen about him or learn about his works from those who are able to teach you what is in his books. Oceans of knowledge. He was a huge man. They call him Hakimul Ummah, wise man of the community. Some of his books have been translated into English. Sufi Study of Hadith, a very good book of, you know, a hadith to do with tazkiyah, al-qalb. And some other books, which one? Malfudat, what's it called? Just in English, what is it called? Malfudat, Hakimul Ummah, 5 volumes. Yeah, so But sometimes some of his works, even though they are in English, you need someone to teach them to you. He's on a different level of ilm and knowledge and wisdom. Hakim al-Ummah, that's why they call him Hakim al-Ummah. He was the sage of this Ummah, the wise man of the community. He wrote and compiled over 1,000 books. Over 1,000 books. One man who was like an institution. If you want to know about the greatness of someone, you just look at the caliber of his students. He left behind each one, each person that he left behind. Each one of them is a gem. Mufti Muhammad Shafi' rahimahullah, a great, great person himself. Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani, Sheikh Ghafar Ahmad Uthmani, who wrote A'la al-Sunan, 22-24 volumes, encyclopedia of the Hanafi Madhab. Sheikh Mawlana Idris Khan Dahlawi, author of Ma'arif al-Quran. And the list is huge. Sheikh Mawlana Yusuf bin Nuri, rahimahullah. If you go to Pakistan today, and many of you are from Pakistan, four major institutes of Pakistan, major Darul Ulooms and seminaries in Pakistan. Four major ones. There's many, but these are the four major ones in Pakistan. Two in Karachi and two in Punjab. The two in Karachi, Darul Ulum Karachi, and Jami'atul Islamiyah in Binori town. And the two in Punjab, one in Lahore, Jami'a Ashrafiyah, and the other were in Multan, Khairul Madaris. All four of them were established by the students, the Khulafa, the successors of Hakim al-Ummah, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani, rahimahullah. The Darul Ulum Karachi established by Mufti Muhammad Shafi' rahimahullah. The Binori town, Sheikh Mawlana Yusuf Binori rahimahullah. Jami'a Ashrafiyah, somebody called Mufti Muhammad Hassan. He was from Amritsar in India. He is a unique person as well. A unique person. His sons are still alive. And the one in Multan, Khairul Madaris, Mawlana Khair Muhammad Jalandari rahimahullah. All four made hijrah, migrated, after Pakistan was established. Because remember, it was all one. India, Pakistan, Bangladesh was all one. But after the creation of Pakistan, they all, upon the instruction of Hakim al-Ummah rahimahullah, they moved to Pakistan. They established these four institutes. And these four institutes have created hundreds and thousands and thousands and thousands of great ulama and thinkers, and just amazing. And they've spread throughout the world. Just take each, just one institute you take. If you read, you know, I've read Mufti Taqi Uthmani's travel logs. It's in 3 volumes, 3 different books in Urdu. Each country he goes to, travels. Since he's been traveling since the 80s, 90s, early. He came here in 2000. I was just reading, just before I came here, actually read again some pages. I brought the book with me, Dunya Mere Aage. The dunya is in front of me. He was talking about Melbourne. I just want to read about Melbourne a bit. He talked about that when he came straight from the airport and who invited him, and that he went to the Darul Ulum College. He has it written, Darul Ulum College in Urdu, in Faulkner. Is that how you pronounce it here? Faulkner. And he said, Daras Nidami has just started this year, alhamdulillah, and it's just like 4 small rooms or something, and they are planning to make a big masjid, and they are planning to do this, and they are planning to do this. Today in the afternoon, first time I went to see. After the morning program, we went to have a quick tour to look at the Darul Ulum. Beautiful masjid, big facility, beautiful dome. It's like amazing. 20 years ago, he's saying they've just bought, it was a school before, so it's easy to keep it as a school. That's what he said. They bought it as a school, and it's just makeshift at the moment. There's 4 rooms, and they're planning to do this, and inshallah, hopefully they'll have sisters' facilities, and they're doing school until intermediate level or something like that, he said. And ilm and tahfiz has commenced, and they're starting this year Dars Nizami. Today, when we went, met the students, and some students from there today, they were showing me Takhassus fil Fatwa wal Ifta, Darul Ifta. This is the first year?
Yeah.
Yes. First year. They're doing takhassus. Something that started 20, 25 years ago, students are doing takhassus. Just before I came here, I received a phone call from Mufti Najib Sahib. I messaged him, I said, I'm in Australia. So he called me straight away, who used to be here in Australia. And he used to be one of the main people in the establishment of the Darul Uloom. He's a friend of mine. When I used to study, he used to be at the same time. He was a bit senior, a few years old, you know, before me. But I know him since those days in 1998 and 99 in Darul Uloom Karachi. And he told me a brief history as well. That I was there from 99 or something. He told me the years, etc. And he mentioned Mufti Munib Sahib. He said to me, have you met him? I said, not yet. But inshallah, I'm hoping to. So, this tells us something. That things don't happen just overnight. Things don't happen overnight. The masjid of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the madrasa that he established, Ashab al-Suffa. It wasn't a madrasa and a massive madrasa with hundreds of sahaba and tabi'un and mujtahidun. No, it was just a few companions. That's our beginning. The Suffa place. Ashab al-Suffa, the first madrasa. Teacher was who? Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who are the students? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum. What's the curriculum? They don't have to worry too much about the curriculum. We are sitting here and banging our heads what curriculum we should have and this and that. Curriculum is just look at the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See how he talks, see how he walks, see how he prays, see how he fasts, how does he communicate. Qawl, fa'il, wasf, taqreer of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the curriculum. That's it. First curriculum. The statements of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the statements of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, the statements of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the actions, qawl fa'l, and his qualities and his character traits and his sifat and his ahwal, and what we say his taqreer, his approvals, tacit approvals. You know, we don't want this to become a lesson on usul al hadith, but that was the curriculum. And since then, this whole process began and commenced. Everybody, throughout the years and generations, put in their small effort. From that time, whoever put the effort, the train is going. It started from Ashab al-Suffa. It will reach its destination until Yawm al-Qiyamah. The deen doesn't need anybody. We need the deen. The train continues to move. You could just be a passerby and just watch, mashallah, amazing train is going. Or you get into the train and do something in the train and clean and do something and help. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of us. We are in need of the deen of Allah. Allah has taken it upon himself. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. We'll protect the deen. We will surely protect it. So this whole process of Islamic teaching, ilm, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the teaching of it started from that time. The reason, and this is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his messenger. Why did he send his messenger? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says in the Quran, there are four basic objectives, reasons, motives, aims, goals, what else you want to say? Maqasid, because of which Allah sent the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into this world. هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة. This verse has appeared in the Quran about 4 or 5 times, but in slight differences, like in terms of the tartib and the order. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ. Allah has favored the believers. إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. Four maqasid If someone asks us, why did Allah send Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What was the reason? What's his job description? Why did anyone come to Australia? What's the reason? You know, for there should be a reason for everything. Why did I come here? If they ask me at the airport, why did you come here? I'm a tourist.
I just said I'm a tourist. I didn't want to say anything else, of course.
Next time, maybe I might say that I'm coming here to teach and do some lectures. Because you have a funny system here. There's a visa and then a sub-visa and this visa. There's hundreds of types of visas. This is the first time I've seen this. That there's business visa, there's tourist visa, and there's visiting family friends visa. It's the same thing. Tourist visa, family visa, it's like they might just say that in-laws visa, and then marriage visa. There's all sorts of visas. We don't get this in, I haven't seen this in any country, America, Canada, I've traveled lots of places, but I haven't seen this. So, why do we come into the any place? We should have an objective in mind, whatever we do. Likewise, when Allah sent the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, four main objectives. One is يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِ, so that he recites the kitab, tilawa, يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِ. Number two, I won't translate them in accordance with the ayah, but there's four. So first is tilawatul kitab, teaching them how to recite the book of Allah. The other is يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَاب, the meanings of the kitab. Number three, teaching them hikmah, wisdom. And number four, yuzakkihim, spiritually purifying them. These are the four job descriptions. These are the four tasks or four roles or four objectives, four responsibilities Allah gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this world. Of course, he was successful in all four. He taught them tilawa. He taught them the meanings. He taught them what wisdom was. So they learned the wisdom. And he spiritually purified them, which means they were spiritually purified. If somebody believes any Sahabi wasn't spiritually purified, he is indirectly saying Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam failed in his job. Right point. Understand this point? If anyone thinks any Sahabi not muzakka, he's not spiritually purified, there's some problem or defect in any Sahabi, anyone thinks like that, this means that he is indirectly saying that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not able to do their tazkiyah. So four job descriptions. What's the first one? Tilawa. يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. He taught the Sahaba radiallahu anhum how to recite. How to recite the book of Allah. How to recite. It's a separate objective to knowing the meanings. Tilawatul kitab. Reciting the book. He was teaching who? Chinese people? No. Who was he teaching? Africans? Who was he teaching? Who were the Sahaba? Arabs. Still he was sent to teach them how to recite Arabic. And this is an objective on its own, alongside separate understanding. Quran is a separate objective. It's a maqsad and it's an act of ibadah. This is why it's a responsibility. We should all, our children included and we included, every Muslim. If we are not doing this, and I'm sure you guys, mashallah, amazing people here, you are all doing this. Every single day we should spend time reciting the book of Allah. Our day cannot commence in the morning without tilawah. Any Muslim, if we have time for everything but not 10 minutes, 15 minutes to recite the book of Allah, that's a crime. Tilawa is the basic basic ibadah, along with the faraid of salah. Anytime, I said morning, but anytime. But inna Quran al-fajri kana mashhuda. It's a good time to read in the morning. With etiquette, with adab, with respect. There's actually books written on the topic of recitation, adab. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala has a book in Arabic called At-Tibyan fi Adabi Hamalat al-Quran. Translated into English by a friend of mine called Sheikh Musa Ferber. He's a revert, Hanbali, who used to study with me in Syria. Many years ago, he translated. It's available. I don't know if you've seen this book here. Etiquettes of Tilawa. He's a sheikh and he's a revert. He embraced. And he studied. I don't know where he's at the moment. He was living in Abu Dhabi for a while, but I don't know where. He's in Malaysia. Is he your sheikh? He's a teacher, right? Yeah. MashaAllah. So he has this translation. If you tells you what's the best time, Imam Nawawi's book, the etiquettes of reciting the book of Allah. Make a firm resolution. Maybe collectively, this is the tarbiyah of our children as well, that there should be a time, okay, everybody at home, sit down, pick up the book of Allah, and everybody recite, make tilawah. Not just in Ramadan, every single day, there should be a tilawah. In itself is an ibadah. Even if someone doesn't understand the meaning, it's a separate, independent objective. And this is why when we send our children to Islamic schools, our start and commence is, why do we, what do they first learn? What do you know for Alif Ba? What do you have here? Like Qaida and things like that. But what is that? That's all to be able to read the Quran. Everything else is, these are all tools. Because that's the main objective. Tilawah. Even if you don't understand the meaning, some people say this, that what's the point if you don't understand the meaning? What's the fa'idah? What's the point? Why are you just like a parrot fashion reading and your children, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha, they don't even know what's going on. What's the point? But this is the point. That the book of Allah is different to every other book on planet Earth. This is not kalamul insan. This is kalamullah. Words of Allah. Imagine, these are words of Allah. You know, sometimes you feel that, you think, this is like the closest you can get to Allah. Imagine. We can't see Allah in this world. لَا تُدْرِكُهُ الْأَبْصَارِ وَهُ يُدْرِكُ الْأَبْصَارِ وَهُ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. We can only understand Allah through His Qudra and His, you know, seeing the sun and the moon and His creation. فَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْجِبَالِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. Think the creation of Allah. We see the Qudra of Allah. The bounties and the ni'mah and the creation of Allah. Everything leads us to Allah. وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ آيَةٌ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ وَاحِدٌ. Everything takes us to Allah. But Allah's sifat, qualities, attributes, this kalam is a, you know, in aqidah, if you study aqidah, especially if you study a bit of, you know, Ash'ari and Maturidi aqidah and the sifat of Allah, if you study Jawharat al-Tawheed, etc., they go into kalam. Is this sifat, attribute, is it attributed to Allah, or is it munfasil, and all that lengthy kalami discussion, which you don't need to go into. But it's a sifat of Allah. Just imagine. These are not the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, hadith, in huwa illa wahyu yuha wa ma yantiqu anil hawa. Everything that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a wahi revelation from Allah. He doesn't speak from his own self. But the words are his own. The words are his own, his own expression. There's only a bit of difference, a discussion on, we have what we call Hadith al-Qudsi. Allah, there's two opinions, whether the words are his own or Allah's. But normal Hadith, revelation is from Allah, words of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his own words. With Kitabullah, the book of Allah, even the words, every letter
Imagine Allah's left. These are words of Allah. That's why you can't change. You can't do, you know, tilawa bil ma'na. You can do hadith riwayat bil ma'na, but you can't do tilawat. You know, you can't paraphrase. Like, for example, you can't say alif lam mim. Dhalika al-kitabu la shakka fih. Rayba means doubt. Shakka means doubt. It's haram to do that. The salah will become invalid. It means the same thing. You can't change. Every letter counts. Words of Allah. And there's reward in tilawa, even if we don't understand the meaning. So some non-Muslims say this, and some of our Muslims also, modernist type of Muslims, they don't get this point. They say, if you recite, like if you don't get the meaning, why are you just reading? What's the point? What's the benefit? So I tell them, this is not Harry Potter. This is not Roald Dahl written book. Any book in the world, you read it once, twice, then you get bored. You've read it. Sometimes my son is reading a book. I've read this book. I want another book. I can't read another. You know, you can't keep on repeating. Quran is such an, inshallah, all of you can testify. You read it 400 times. You read it the 401 first time. It's still as fresh, as amazing. Even if you know the meanings, even if you just listen to tilawa, it just gives you some amazing spiritual upliftment. Even though you've heard this, you offer salah, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. It is, and it's, remember, this is not based on even sound of voice. Some people just like Quran when it's just sound, good voice. It's not dependent on that. And rather, don't get too accustomed to sound or noise. Build a connection with the words. Because it's not about the sound and I mean, it's good to recite Quran. حَسِّنُوا الْقُرْآنَ بِأَصْوَاتِكُمْ. But it should not be dependent on that. Every time we listen to the Quran, we recite the Quran, it's just an amazing feeling. I'm sure you can't get this feeling ever. It's just you hear the words, الْقَارِعَةُ مَا الْقَارِعَةُ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْقَارِعَةُ. It's just unique, it's different. So every word we recite, this is in itself an ibadah. Even if we, what did I say? Even if we don't, are you awake, everybody? Even if we don't understand the meaning, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith that every word we recite of the book of Allah, you get 10 rewards. How many rewards? 10 rewards. And then he said, لا أقول ألف لام ميم حرف. I don't say ألف لام ميم is a word. Rather, ألف حرف ولام حرف وميم حرف. ألف is a letter, لام is a letter, ميم is a letter. If you read ألف لام ميم, how much reward? I'm sure you're good at maths. 40? 30. You know, there's a point that came to my mind, and I don't know if I'm wrong, you can correct me in this, and I've just, a few months ago, this came to my mind, based on this hadith. I mentioned it once in my talk before, but I said it to the students in the class, that it's so significant, and I've not read this in any book or from anybody, so this is from me, it could be shaytan, Allahu alam. In kana sawaban fa min Allah, wa in kana khata'an fa min yawmin shaytan. Based on this hadith, if you look at this hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that you receive reward in tilawa. And then he's giving us an example of something of tilawa. He could have used any other word as an example. I don't say rayba is one word. I don't say muflihoon is one word. Rather, meem is a letter, fa is a letter. I don't say qul a'udhu is two words. Rather, qaf. He chose to use what as an example? Alif, lam, meem. A word that has no meaning for us to understand. No meaning. Allahu a'lamu bi muradihi bi dhalik. Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ain, Sad, Ha, Mim. This is all huruf al-muqatta'at, min al-mutashabihat. Allah knows what the meaning is. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam probably knows. But the Ummah, we don't know the meaning. We still read it. If it was based on, if you understand the meaning, then every time you Alif Lam Mim comes, you don't read that, you skip that. Allahu Akbar. Why don't we skip? Yaseen, we don't say. Well, you just start. Allahu Akbar. Wal Qur'an il Hakim. Why are you not reading Yaseen? Well, there's no meaning. I don't know the meaning, so I'm not going to read it. No, of course you read it. Those people who say that you should what? Only read if you understand the meaning, then tell them, then don't ever say Yaseen. Don't ever say Hamim. Don't ever say Alif Lam Mim. So, recitation, even without understanding the meaning, tilawa, is a maqsad, is an objective for our children, for adults. And then, remember brothers and sisters, it doesn't just stop there. Reciting with observance of the rules of recitation. What we call what? Tajweed. Tajweed is from the word jawwada yujawwidu. This is also an obligation, it's a fard. Reciting Quran without tajweed is sinful, haram. مَنْ لَمْ يُجَوِّدِ الْقُرْآنَ فَهُوَ آثِمُ. This is not a Quran ayah hadith, it's just a poetry of Imam Jazari. What's the first half of that? حَتْمٌ لَازِمُ something. التَّجْوِيدُ بِالْقُرْآنِ something like that. حَتْمٌ لَازِمُ فَمَنْ لَمْ يُجَوِّدِ الْقُرْآنَ فَهُوَ آثِمُ. We don't have anyone memorized Jazariya and Shatriya and mashallah. So, but it's an object, it's a fard. Because remember, the way to recite with proper huruf and makharij and ikhfa and idhar and proper pronunciation, that is also a maqsad. That is when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was teaching yatlu alayhim ayatihi with the ashabu suffa, the suffa madrasa in Masjid of Nabawi. He was teaching them how to recite the Quran with proper tajweed. Then the Sahaba taught their students, and then they taught their students, and then their students taught today. So the Quran has to be recited with those rules. And who taught the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Who taught the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Jibreel. And that's mentioned in the Quran. فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَ فَإِذَا لَا تُحَرِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكَ لِتَعْجَلَ بِهِ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمْعَهُ وَقُرْآنَ فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ When we teach you, O Messenger, make you read it through Jibreel. فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَ Then follow this way of reading. The way we teach you, read it. And this is unique. You know the science of Tajweed, as Mufti Taqi Uthmani Hafidhahullah many times says, and I've heard this on many occasions, he says that this is unique to Arabic and Muslims. There is no science for any other language. There's no science in English that teaches you that D comes from here, and if you take your tongue here, then it's C, and then F, and then the K, and there's no such a thing like that. The detailed rules of huruf halqi, ha, kha, ayn, all this I've forgotten as well. Then I ulia, and you know, take your letter, take your tongue this way, and take your tongue that way. Who's fresh with the new rules? Afterwards, you become so used to it, you don't need the rules. Likewise with nahwa sarf and things like that as well. You become so used to it, then that we don't need the rules. Do you know nahwa sarf, etc.? Afterwards, you become so used to it, you just read. You won't know the reason why there's. You know, basic you know, but every other Arab, why is this here? You just know it. You just you're used to it. Why? I don't know why, but I know. This is right. Anyway, so tilawa with tajweed. Tilawa with tajweed, inshallah. Make this resolution for our children, for ourselves. We should make a habit of recitation daily. And if we don't know, then it doesn't matter even if we are old. We should still take time out Do I need to hold this? It's okay. I'm holding one, double mashaqqa. If already doing one mashaqqa, just add another one. You should always have a stand, because it's very... No, I'll hold it. A stand is very important, because you know when you do, when anyone does a lecture, you need to use your hands. I've never had a habit of, you know, no. That even looks, that's even more, I won't able to talk. He's saying I'm holding for you, then that's just gonna, I won't able to do talk at all that. So, this is the first objective. I'm gonna end soon, inshallah. Tilawa with tajweed. Okay, what's the second objective? What did we say, second objective of the message? The meaning. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into this world and Allah sent him so that he would teach them the meanings of his book. Meanings. Now this is a separate objective. This is also important. Sometimes when we talk about the first objective, the tilawa, even if you don't understand the meaning, and you know, we try to emphasize this point, even if you don't understand the meaning, what? You still get reward, even if you don't understand the meaning. Yeah, these modernist people are telling us that you won't get no reward. No, even if you don't understand the meaning, you'll still get reward. We focus so much on that, that we take an oath that we will never understand the meaning. Going to that extreme, that's it, no, you can never understand the meaning, only the students and only the ulama, and like nobody should ever know what ihdina sirat al-mustaqim means. No, astaghfirullah, I shouldn't know what ihdina sirat al-mustaqim means. This is the job of the ulama. Who said this? No, none of our mashayikh said this. I've heard this many times from Muftah Qutmani and many others, that every general lay person should know the basic meanings of the Quran. This is why Mufti Muhammad Shafi rahimahullah wrote Ma'arif al-Quran. This is why Mufti Taqi Uthmani wrote his, you know, Asan Tarjumah Quran and the noble meanings of the noble Quran. It's basic explanatory notes, translation of the Quran. It's for everyone. Every Muslim should try to understand. Yes, the verses of the Quran are of two types. Majority of the Quran is maw'idha, it's nasiha, it's advice, it's about, you know, the qudra of Allah, it's about akhirah, reminding of akhirah, it's about these kind of things. And this is the reason why the majority of the Quran is not about technical issues. Some people ask this, why doesn't the Quran talk about technical issues? That's left to the Sunnah. There's only 500 verses of Quran that deal with ahkam, laws. From the total of, how many verses are there? 2,036. Okay, mashallah. How many verses of taqwa? How many verses of ahkam? 500 only. What's the ratio percentage then? 10%? 10% technical. 90% non-technical. You don't even need. Yes, sometimes you might need to go to an alim or a sheikh or somebody to when you get stuck, but 90% of the Quran translation meanings, you can just read the books and understand. At least start with Surah Al-Fatiha. We recite Surah Al-Fatiha every day. We should know the meanings of Surah Al-Fatiha. How many times in a day we recite Surah Al-Fatiha? We should try to understand the meanings of Surah Al-Fatiha. So, only 10% is ahkam. That's where we need guidance of scholars, of mufassirun, of experts. That's not for every Tom, Dick and Harry. The other extreme is when people read it, they don't even know Arabic and they just read translations and become a mufassir of the Quran. Like Mufti Taqi Uthmani hafidhahullah says that there are some people who are professionals in other fields, and when they become retired, then they suddenly feel like writing the tafsir of the Quran. He says that they've just retired, now I'm the mufassir. They don't even know Arabic, and they want to write a tafsir of the Quran. So, لِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَقَالٍ وَلِكُلِّ فَنٍ رِجَالٍ. There are people for every field. Leave the expertise. If you're a doctor, you stay a doctor. We respect your expertise in medicine, of course. If you're an engineer, that's your expertise. We respect your expertise in engineering. If you're an architect, we respect your expertise in that field. Islamic ahkam and laws and ijtihad and tafsir and, you know, deeper understanding, that's for the people of scholarship, and leave it for them. But the problem today is that when it comes to Islam, everybody's an expert except the expert. When it comes to any other field, only the experts are experts. In medicine, no, I'm not a doctor, you're an expert. Computer science, no, you guys are an expert, I don't know anything, yes, whatever. We listen and we accept and we listen to those who are experts. But when it comes to Islam, Quran, Sunnah, Fiqh, Hadith, Tafsir, Ijtihad, technical rulings, everybody's an expert except the expert. Everybody suddenly becomes an expert in moon sighting, everyone's a mufti about, dhabiha, everyone's a mufti about, I don't know about Australia, no one has told me anything, I'm just saying, this is everywhere, it's the same. Everyone's a mufti about nikah and talaq and inheritance and everything. There was one great Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, rahimahullah. I heard this from Mufti Taqutmani when he came to the UK. He said he visited Pakistan many, many times and many countries. A great scholar from Syria, Halab. Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, I'm sure. I talked about his book today in the morning, Al Ulama Al Uzzab Al Ladina Athar Al Ilm Al Zawaj. And many, many books he's written. Like, amazing, amazing alim. Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, rahimahullah. So once he visited Pakistan, when he was leaving, many, many ulama and people went with him to see him off. So somebody asked him at the airport, said, Shaykh, what do you think of the people of Pakistan? He said, Alhamdulillah, amazing people of Pakistan. People are very nice people. So nice and, you know, very kind and very hospitable. But I've seen one thing. Here, everyone's a doctor and everyone's a mufti. Everyone's a doctor, everyone's a mufti. Everyone wants to prescribe you a medicine. And everyone wants to give you a fatwa. Leave the expertise to the people who are experts. Leave the fatwa to the people of fatwa. Why did they spend 15, 20 years studying? Well, if you can just give a fatwa just like that, then why are people spending 10, 15? And it's not 6 years. You can't be a mufti, by the way, students. You can't be a mufti in 6 years or 2 years takhassus. 1 year takhassus, 2 year takhassus, 3 year takhassus. A mufti, you can only be at least up to 10, 15 years, at least minimum, of dealing with fatwa. 15 years at least. Minimum. Where you stay in a company, if not physical company, but at least, you know, mashwara and advice with experts. 10 to 15 years. One of our teachers, Mufti Mahmoud Ashraf Uthmani, rahimahullah, passed away recently. After how many years he was dealing in Darul Ifta of Darul Karachi, and then finally, he was only called Mawlana Mahmoud Ashraf Uthmani, and then afterwards they gave him a stamp. Well, how many years ago? In which year, do you know? 2012, 13 or something like that, I don't know when. When I was studying, we used to say Mufti, but it was our ustad, but he never had the stamp. He wasn't given the stamp in 1999. Mufti Abdul Rauf Zakarbi had the stamp. But Mufti Mahmoud Ashraf Uthmani didn't have the stamp. So anyway, because mashallah, there's a lot of students of knowledge and everything, so it's making me talk about a lot of other things as well. But to finish off this point, tilawa, very important objective. Number two, understand the meaning. So we should at least take some time out. Every day, try to take some time out to try to understand the meanings of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pick up Ma'arif al-Qur'an, pick up any reliable tafsir of the Qur'an, spend like one page, go through the meanings, basic meanings, wherever you get stuck, wherever you don't understand, then go to the people who are experts and get clarification from them. This is the third objective of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is something that we need to do.
which is the meanings, understanding the meanings of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. The other two objectives, what was the third one? Wisdom. He came to teach us hikmah. Hikmah. Wisdom. What does that mean? Hikmah, this is really important. Hikmah refers to him teaching us. Allah sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to teach us. Time wise. Okay. He came to this world. Allah sent the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to teach us what? Hikmah, wisdom. In summary, what this means is that he gave us direction, guidelines, explained to us what makes sense, what is beneficial for us, what is harmful for us. Every issue on planet Earth, there are two opinions. There are two opinions. Hikmah is the wisdom, that is the divine wisdom. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for example, this is haram, there's harm in it, then there's logically, rationally, it makes sense why that's harmful for us. Today we live in a world where, you know, actually the study has been done on this. Some modernist theories, they say there's no such a thing as shar and husn and qubh and evil and good in the world. What's the definition? What's good? What's good and what's evil? They say that it's just society decides. Society decides what's good, that's good. If society thinks being a homosexual is good, it's okay, then that's good. It's just whatever society, what the brains of the people. Today we live in a world where the aqal has been made the god. The wisdom is the aqal, rationale. And remember, there's as many wisdoms as many aqals there are. That's why every issue is debated. If you study media studies, what happens? They'll bring someone for, somebody against. He will give his proofs, he will give his proofs. The interviewer won't take any sides. There's no decision. Say, we'll have to end it here now and that's it. Let the viewers decide. So he's got his aqal, he's got his aqal. The viewers, you have your aqal. You're all ashabul hikam. You just decide what's good for you. What's good, what's evil, if you think changing gender is okay, that makes sense, rationally, logically, then that's reason, that's wisdom. We live in a time where alcohol is what? Legal, isn't it? Is legal to drink alcohol in Australia? Drugs legal or illegal? Harmful drugs? Illegal. Ask them, why differentiate? Be consistent. If alcohol is legal, it's harmful, then drugs harmful, that should be legal as well. And if you make drugs illegal, then make alcohol illegal. No criteria, what they feel like, whatever the aqal thinks. If they 1 minute they think something's bad, 50 years ago homosexuality was evil, dirty, filthy. Suddenly the brains changed, the wisdom changed. That's it. Now the wisdom is, it's all cool, it's all fine. And you will see 40 years down the line, probably incest will be as they're talking about homosexuality today. So this is the meaning of wisdom, that it's wisdom is not what you think is good for the society. It's what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has decided. And lastly, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ He purifies them spiritually. تَزْكِيَةُ الْقَلْبِ And that's a topic on its own. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and one by one we heard the Shaykh was talking about ikhlas. That's part of tazkiyah. But these were the companions who had, before Islam, had all these character traits like jealousy, like hatred, like, you know, competition, showing off, ostentation, you know, all of these things. One by one, every Sahabi, he spiritually purified their hearts, cleansed their hearts, and they became such that they would give their lives for one another, and he spiritually purified them. All of these four objectives are the objectives of our madaris. Every school we want to establish, every masjid you want to establish, not just madaris, sorry. Every masjid you want to establish, every Islamic school you want to establish, every Islamic community you want to establish, every dar you want to establish. We shouldn't forget, we call it Darul Hikmah, then teach the Hikmah wisdom there as well, brother. You call it Darul Ulum, then teach the Ilm there as well. Darul Sunnah, teach the Sunnah there. So these are every Islamic school, every institute, every seminary, whatever you want to call it, any project, any academy. This was the beginning of Ashab al-Safa. This was the beginning of the Ashab al-Safa. That was the main curriculum. The teacher of Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was teaching these four areas. It was passed down, and we should all keep this in mind. And even as parents, we should keep these four things in mind for our children. Either we teach these four things ourselves, or facilitate these four things for our children, for our family, for our women, for our wives, for our husbands. See, is my child learning tilawa? We do always look at that. Alhamdulillah, they do hifz, tahfiz, etc. What about the meanings? Not everybody has to become a scholar. Basic meaning. Basic meaning. Tazkiyah is there. Very important. For ourselves, for our children. It's a fard for everyone. Tazkiyah should be learnt and acquired and, you know, inculcated into our lives. Removing all the spiritual diseases one by one and working on the heart. And the fourth one, hikmah, wisdom. This is also something that should be taught. Our Islamic schools should should teach this aspect of wisdom, which is taken from the Sunnah. Meaning, in other words, rationally explain the Islamic rules. Rationally. Scholars have written books on this. Again, we're finishing this talk with the name of Hakim al-Ummah, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani, rahimahullah. He has books on this topic. Answer to Modernism, Islam and Modernism, Al-Intibahat al-Jadida. That's the first part of the name, Al-Intibahat al-Mufida. It's a long name in Arabic. Fi Halli Shubahat al-Jadida. So that's a really good book for students and scholars to study. Inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding of all these four areas of our deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve the ulama and the scholars of this country, the students, the imams, and all the people who are working for the deen, and all of you guys. May Allah protect our children. That's the big, big fear, the next generation. And alhamdulillah, I see you guys are all here. This is why you're here. You all care for your children. And mashallah, you bring them into the masjid, into the programs. So, but this needs to spread, and more, don't feel I see one thing, don't have an inferiority complex. Oh, you guys in England, you're too ahead. No. 20 years ago, I mentioned, when Mufti Taqi Uthmani came, he was talking about, oh, Darus Nizam has started. What's happening after 20 years? We have takhassus. So this is what happens. And who's saying that England is far ahead? I don't accept that. I'm very positive about Australia. I've been here, I know, I've only been here for four days. I don't know other scholars have come, and I don't know what they've said, and if they've said, maybe they are because they're scholars and I'm not, so maybe they're saying, yeah, you guys are well behind. I don't think you are well behind. I've seen a lot of positive things here. You know, the way people memorize Quran, students, boys are memorizing Quran, students, I was in Sydney, the level I saw of students, the ilm level, studying, really high level than many of the students who are studying in our Darul Rooms. We might have too much by name. And you guys might have it by more than name, real haqiqah. You know, you can have hundreds of Darul Rooms and 500 students graduating and 300, but if they don't know really anything, it's just by name, then what's the point? Less quality is better than a lot quantity. So don't worry about quantity, that we need 10 Darul Rooms, or we need this. Concentrate on the quality, inshallah. And that's better than quantity.
May Allah grant us tawfiq. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.